الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another beautiful episode of this silsila we are doing Crown of Sainthood in the month of Rabi'ul Ghaus, Alhamdulillah. And in today's silsila, we are going to talk about the great family of the great Ghaus. Subhanallah, subhanallah. But before we begin with today's topic, let's inshallah remind one another to recite durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that, I would humbly invite and welcome our Muballighi Dawat Islami, Maulana Abdul Majid Damat Barakatum Aliya, who is here with us, alhamdulillah, on this beautiful journey. Jazakallah Sayyidi for having been with us on this wonderful journey and making it a success. Inshallah, if you could please share some words of hadith, encourage us about reciting durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we could all be inspired and recite durood and salam together.
We as human beings, we know that we have many cycles, whether is it within our family members or friends. You know, there's many occasions upon which we get together, whether it's a family gathering, whether it's a friendship gathering and so forth. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a remedy by which our gatherings can be beautified. This remedy is such a wonderful remedy that not only will it beautify our mahafils, but it will be remedy to enlighten and to bring upon light for us on the day of Qiyamah. And by this, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has beautifully said that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for indeed your sending of durood and salawat upon me will be noor and light for you on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And what a beautiful way of reminding ourselves to read durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's for our own good. It will be noor for us on the day of judgment. Allah, when we will need that noor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. And mashallah, as we are in the beautiful month of Sayyidina Ghaus-e Pak's Gyarawi Sharif, let's inshallah recite durood-e-ghausi at the same time. And inshallah, I would request our viewers also to partake in this beautiful recitation of durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inspired by Sayyidina Ghaus-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin ma'adil judi wal karami wa alihi wa barik wa sallim. Salatu wa salaman alayki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayki wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are talking about the great family of the great Ghaus. Subhanallah. And let's start with the noble father of Sayyidina Ghaus-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. His name was Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And about his piety, subhanallah, what can we say about his piety? It is mentioned in his accounts that once he was hungry and he was sitting on the river bank, and he saw that an apple was floating and passing by him. So he picked that apple from the river and he ate it. And only after he ate it, he came to realize, what have I done? He was overcome by the divine fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. He started making his own accountability in such a manner, and he thought, I don't know whose apple this was. And can the way I have eaten an unknown apple be halal for me or not? And then as this thought entered his mind, he started walking along the river bank to find out now where this apple had come from and whether it was coming from a halal source, meaning whether it was halal for him to eat it. And he went in search of the owner of the apple, and he went in the direction from which the apple had come floating. And as he was walking along the river bank, he came across an orchard and he saw a huge apple tree and its branches were hanging just over the river. So he was so sure that the apple definitely came from this place here. And then he went and wanted to find out about the owner of the orchard. And then when he reached there, he found his, alhamdulillah, father-in-law, Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was another high-ranking wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he entered there and he said he wanted to be forgiven for eating the apple without having the permission to eat because it didn't belong to him. And then Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, not until you have served me for 12 years. So he had to serve him for 12 years in order for Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, to forgive him. Because Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he saw in him, because he was a person of kashf, he was the person of wilayah, he was a friend of Allah. And the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learnt, alhamdulillah, in the previous episodes, that they see with the noor of Allah. اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. That be aware of the intellect of a believer, because he sees with the noor of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So he realized that this grace personality is such a pious person that for accountability of eating one apple, he has come so far. His heart has made him come so far to seek forgiveness. Who does that? And then he realized his worth. And after he had put this condition upon Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam's father, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, look at the piety of his. And he accepted this condition, subhanallah, subhanallah. Imagine if somebody holds you for 12 years for eating one apple. But the men of Allah, they are so concerned about halal and haram, what they consume, what they put in their mouth. And their fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is so immense that they don't want to take a chance. They don't want to do any dodgy deals. And then once that was done, once the 12 years period was over and he was serving in the orchard, then there was another condition that was put on him, another test upon Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And what is that condition? He said, there is another service. I have a daughter who has four defects. I have a daughter who has four defects.
Allah.
Number one, she is blind. Number two, she is deaf. Number three, her hands do not work. And number four, she is lame. You have to marry her and will have to serve me for 2 more years.
Allah.
After then, whatever you want or wherever you want, you can go. Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was aware of Islamic teachings and had immense fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. He also accepted this condition, subhanallah. Now his second test also began. Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, performed the nikah of his daughter with Sayyidina Abu Salih. And after the nikah, he came across his wife. And he was faced with a dilemma, because whatever he saw was completely contrary to what he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was told, that she is deaf, that she is blind, that she is her hands don't work, and that she is lame. He found it contrary to what he was told. And what he saw, that was all the body parts of his wife were safe. And having seen this, Sayyidina Abu Salih, rahmatullahi ta'ala, did not go even near his new bride and returned from there. He then mentioned it to Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and then he said, you do not need to be worried. The one who you have just seen is your wife.
Allah Akbar.
In actual fact, my daughter possesses all the things which I told you in relation to her. In what way? She is blind, means she is blind because she does not see non-mahram.
SubhanAllah.
She is deaf, means she is deaf as she does not listen to untrue things. Her hands do not work, it means that she does not touch non-mahrams. And she is lame, it means she does not take one step against her husband's order. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala, heard these convincing and credible explanations for his new bride from Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala, He felt excited, and his wife's importance became prominent in his heart. And by the grace and favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost was privileged to become the husband of the blessed daughter of a great pious saint of the time, Sayyidina Abdullah Somi'i Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. The blessed daughter was not only beautiful but also had a great moral conduct.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. And she was none other than the mother of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, being the father of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Subhanallah. These were the great parents of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak. As Alhamdulillah, the episode is aptly named, the great family of the great Ghawsi.
Subhanallah.
And look at the Allah-fearing nature of his great father. Nowadays, it should send a message to us that do we really care what we put in our mouth? Which sources does it come from? Does it come from halal sources? Does it come from haram sources? What are the repercussions? You know, if we don't investigate our own earnings, where we get our sustenance from? You know, just checking the logos on food items or grocery items, that's not enough. No matter how many logos you can put on the grocery item itself, certified, halal and all of that, if the money with which you're purchasing, that came from the haram sources, then no matter what you can do, the end result is the same. So he was worried, and he investigated the source of that apple, where it came from. Did I put food in my mouth in a haram way or halal way? Allahu Akbar. And to make that action, to justify that action, he served for 12 years, then another 2 years. Allahu Akbar. And he accepted all those conditions just in order to be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar Kabir.
And we can't even shed some tears to be forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should be our state? Shouldn't we be inspired by the great family of the great Ghawsi? Subhanallah.
Allah.
There's, alhamdulillah, numerous parables. As we mentioned, the beautiful and the great name of this pious saint who is the father of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost. Abu Salih is his appellation. And then Jangi Dost, what does it refer to, Jangi Dost? Can Mawasab, inshallah, shed some light about this beautiful title of the beloved father of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the reasons, if not the reason why, the blessed father of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was called Jangi Dost, or he was famously known as Jangi Dost, is because one day Sayyidina Abu Salih Jangi Dost was going towards Jamia Masjid. On the way, he saw that a few servants of the king with clay pots of wine on their heads were going towards the palace of the king. So when he saw it, meaning when we saw the servants carrying the clay pots on their head that carried wine, and he was filled with passion for preventing evil, he stepped forward and broke those pots. And seeing the nobility of Sayyidina Abu Salih, no servant dared to say anything. But as they reached the palace, they related the whole event to the king. And the king ordered his servants to bring Sayyid Musa immediately to his court. And Sayyidina Musa, the father of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, who was brought to the court, the king asked him, and he was very, very angry when he asked him this. He says to him, "Who are you to waste the hard work of my servants?" Sayyidina Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala replied that, "I am Muhtasib. I am Muhtasib." Now, a Muhtasib is a person that judge who forbids from the things which are contrary to Sharia.
Subhanallah.
This is the title of Muhtasib.
The person who does Nahi Anil Munkar.
Yes, who does Nahi Anil Munkar.
Subhanallah, the characteristic, the beautiful characteristics of the Blessed Ummah of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And this is what obviously makes us the best of Ummah.
Subhanallah.
Because we enjoy good and then we forbid the bad. And this was actually one of the titles of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father. So he asked him that you calling yourself a muhtasib and by whose order have you been appointed as a muhtasib? So Sayyidina Musa Jangi Dost replied in a very, very soft tone to this king. And then he says to him, by the order of the one you are governing.
Allah.
Meaning by the order of the same deity that has given you this glory, that has made you a governor.
Subhanallah.
And this statement of his made the king so emotional that he sat putting his head on the knees and then raising his head after a while. He humbly said, Your Highness, what was the wisdom of breaking the slave pots? Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullah ta'ala replied and he said, For being affectionate towards you, this is the reason why I broke this pot, that I was affectionate towards you and to save you from the disgrace of the world and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Look at that. He actually broke this pot of wine to save this governor from the disgrace of this world as well as the disgrace of the hereafter. Look at the vision of the awliya ikram. Allahu Akbar. And he says, I have done this to protect you from the disgrace of the hereafter. So this governor was greatly moved by his wisdom filled words. And after getting impressed, he requested, Your Honor, you are also appointed as a muhtasib by me. But look and listen to what was the reply of the father of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu. He replied indifferently. And then he says, What did he say? He says, When I am appointed as a muhtasib by Allah Azza wa Jal, then why should I need to be appointed by the creation?
Allah.
If I have been appointed by the Creator, why do I still need to be appointed by the creation? From that very day, he became famously known, or he became famous by the title of Jangi Dost.
Subhanallah, because he has the spirit of fighting with the evil.
And this has been the order of the day for every wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla that has ever been there. And then, you know, as we have discussed this in much more details, to say, it is a condition for a wali of Allah to become an alim. You know, to know what is haram and to know what is halal. I mean, if a person is not Islamically equipped and he does not have the Islamic education, to what extent will he be able to forbid evil? To what extent will he know if he is stepping out of the Sharia? To what extent will he know if the advice that he is giving is within the boundary of Sharia? Mm-hmm. And as you have seen, how the father of Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu, he is not just giving this advice to this king just merely because of the wine, but he has a vision for him. He's not just giving him an advice, of a worldly advice, but he is giving him such an advice that will cause him to succeed not only in this world, but in the akhirat, because that's obviously the focus of every mu'min, and especially those who are the great awliyas of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the reason why the father of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became famously known as Jangi Dost. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Such is the glory and the magnificence of the father of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Subhanallah. Now let's listen about the accounts of his beloved mother, who was also on the peak of piety, subhanallah. And it is mentioned about her as her own father described her to Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that she is blind, she is deaf, and her hands don't work, and that she is lame, she can't walk. And Sayyidina Ghawse Pak's father, Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, he thought maybe it was like that. But when he went and entered the room and saw that she was perfectly fine, and he thought maybe he met a wrong person or something, because the description that was given was totally opposite. So he came and told the father-in-law, Sayyidina Abdullah Somai, that I found your daughter to be on the contrary of what you have told me. He said, no, she is what I told you. She is blind in the sense that she hasn't seen any non-mahram. She is deaf in the sense that she doesn't listen to untrue things, the falsehood. Her hands don't work in the sense that she doesn't touch any non-mahram, and her feet don't work in the sense that she does not take any step in the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Allah
against the command of her husband.
This Sayyidi also speaks a lot about the tawakkul and trust that the awliya ikram, you know, had for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, here is a daughter that you have been informed and told that she is blind. I mean, she is deaf, she can't move, and then still you are accepting her in your nikah. I mean, if we have to bring that to practicality today, you have been told that, you know what, you want to get married, and then you have been told by the father of the child or of the daughter that, look, you know what, it's no problem, but here are a few things that are happening with my daughter. We will run away from this at the same time.
The groom will be sprinting.
Allahu Akbar. The father of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani was willing to go through this route. You know, marrying someone who could not see, marrying someone who could not hear, marrying someone who could not even walk. Why was he really putting himself into this trouble? He was only looking for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
Look at that. I mean, whichever condition that his father-in-law brought in front of him, he was ready to accept that. And this tells us something would be very, very important if also all the viewers of Madani channel can take a lesson from this. If Allah loves a servant, then he gives him more difficult tests.
Allah.
He will be tested the most. Then that means Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is now throwing you closer to Him.
Subhanallah.
You know, so if Allah Azza wa Jalla loves a person, He will give him, and not just any ordinary test, a difficult test. If you see the awliya ikram, the anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam, the difficulties that they went through, and we're talking about a beloved of Allah. He went through all these difficulties. He went through all these problems. And with us today, you know, just as an example, take the blessed month of Ramadan, which holistically is the blessed month of mercy and barakah. You know, we fast 2-3 days, we begin to complain. I mean, that's not even a test to us. I mean, that's a blessing to us. But then we begin to draw, you know, complaints. The Ramadan is not finishing, and, you know, but this was not the attitude and the view of the awliya Allah. Because they understood, the more test I receive from Allah, in reality, I'm getting more closer and more closer and more closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then we see the patience and the sabr that was demonstrated by the father of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, brought some very, very beautiful and sweet fruits. You know, he got married to a very wonderful woman who was blind in the sense that she doesn't see anything haram. You know, she doesn't have time to open her eyes and look at anything which is against Sharia, which is against Islam. She doesn't walk towards anything against, you know, Sharia, against Islam, and she doesn't hear anything which is contrary to that. And then now, look at what was the end result. A great personality was born from these two beautiful noors and beloveds of Allah. And who was born from this? A great personality, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu.
Well, one great lesson that our sisters and our mothers out there, they can learn from this fact that she was so pious and she kept parda, meaning she wouldn't allow others to see her and she wouldn't see non-mahrams as well. She wouldn't listen to anything false. And then she wouldn't take a step towards the disobedience of the husband. And then she wouldn't touch any non-mahram. All these are parts of parda, parts of decency and the chastity of a woman. And she was such a pious woman. And this is described, alhamdulillah, what advice we can take from her life. The inspiration we can draw from the life of the mother of Sayyidina Ghawse Azam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, is that our women folk should not be without parda. And in a way that women in the era of ignorance used to be, they used to flaunt their bodies, show off, and in, before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even the era of ignorance, the age of ignorance, is in two ways. One is the former age of ignorance, and then one is latter age of ignorance. Then the former era of ignorance refers to the time that was before Islam, prior to the advent of Islam, prior to the arrival of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was the time when women used to strut proudly and display their beauty and attractive features for non-mahram men to see. They used to wear such dresses which did not used to cover their body parts properly. Later era of the age of and the era of ignorance would be, it refers to the last era in which the deeds of people will become like the former era. Allahu Akbar. Can't we see this in this era as we are moving away from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The latter era that is coming, there is indecency prevalent everywhere in the society. And people, women especially, they are wearing provocative clothing and so on and so forth. This is now the same as prior to the advent of Islam, in the era of ignorance that was before the advent of Islam. Now the same thing is repeating itself, the era of ignorance.
Just it's repeating itself in a very alarming way. I mean, if you have to look at the slogan of our beautiful movement, Dawat Islami, is that I must strive to rectify who? Myself.
Subhanallah.
And the people of the entire world, inshallah. So the rectification begins within you first, before it can even be brought to your family members. So it is surprising today how we want to change the whole entire dunya. You know, we want to change the generation to come. But ourselves, we are not willing to rectify our own selves. I mean, what do we think of the next generation? Because that very next generation depends on us, depends on our akhlaq, on our attitude, on our love, perhaps towards Quran, towards Sunnah and all of that. And if ourselves are not willing to embrace that transformation, how would it then be able to reach the later generation? And then we see this beautifully in the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani's parents, that transformation started with them even before it could be transferred to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So only and only if we can fall back to the teachings of Quran, only and only if we can fall back to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam our role model. So the nur and this beautiful light will then be transformed to our children. And obviously that will be a means of transforming the later on generation that is there to come. So a very simple message: change needs to come within ourselves. That's the message of Attar. I must strive to rectify myself before anybody else, you know, and the people of the entire world. Because you cannot expect the people to change whilst yourself you're not willing to embrace and to accept a change If you are not willing to go back to Sunnah, willing to go back to Quran, so it needs to start there. And here's a very beautiful example, and look at the results in the form of a great personality, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, JazakAllah Sayyidi, Alhamdulillah for the words of inspiration, and also a lesson that should serve us as the devotees of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, to also align our character with the character of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, with the character of the beloved parents of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, mashallah. And mashallah, as we are halfway through the program and we are discussing subhanallah the great family of the great Ghawse, inshallah azza wa jal, we should now listen to a beautiful manqabat in the praise of Sayyidina Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And I would ask our director sahab to please surprise us with a beautiful manqabat of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And for viewers out there, I will be back inshallah after the kalam. So until then, recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ghawse azam pire pira mere mera, Ghawse azam, Ghawse azam pire pira mere mera, Ghawse azam mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
Jilani
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse azam.
Khuda ke fazl se hum par hai saaya Ghawse Azam ka, Khuda ke fazl se hum par hai saaya Ghawse Azam ka, hame dono jahan mein gaya sahara Ghawse Azam ka,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
Jilani
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam.
تخف کہہ کر تسلی دی غلاموں کو, مریدی لا تخف کہہ کر تسلی دی غلاموں کو, قیامت تک رہے بے خوف بندہ غوث اعظم کا,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
جیلانی
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam.
عزیزوں کر چکو تیار جب میرے جنازے کو, عزیزوں کر چکو تیار جب میرے جنازے کو, تو لکھ دینا کفن پر نام والا غوث اعظم کا,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
جیلانی
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam,
mera
sadae Ghawse Azam.
لحد میں جب فرشتے مجھ سے پوچھیں گے تو کہہ دوں گا, لحد میں جب فرشتے مجھ سے پوچھیں گے تو کہہ دوں گا, طریقہ قادری وہ نام لیوا غوث اعظم کا,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
میرا
سدائے غوث اعظم,
جیلانی
جی خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
کبھی قدموں پہ لوٹوں گا کبھی دامن پہ مچلوں گا کبھی قدموں پہ لوٹوں گا کبھی دامن پہ مچلوں گا بتا دوں گا کہ یوں چھٹتا گے بندہ غوثِ آدم کا میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
گیلانی
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
روکتے کیوں گو مجھے جنت میں جانے سے فرشتوں روکتے کیوں گو مجھے جنت میں جانے سے لو دیکھو ہاتھ میں دامن گئے کس کا غوثِ آزم کا
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
گیلانی
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
جمیل قادری سو جا سگو قربان مرشد پر جمیل قادری سو جا سگو قربان مرشد پر بنایا جس نے تجھ جیسے کو بندہ غوثِ آدم کا
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
گیلانی
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
میرا
خدائے غوثِ آدم
گیلانی
غوثِ آدم
گیلانی
پیرے پیرا
گیلانی
میرے میرا
گیلانی
غوثِ آدم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوز الحمدللہ وی ور بینگ انسپائرڈ بائی دس بیوٹیفل منقبت ان دا پریز آف سیدنا غوثِ اعظم رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ الحمدللہ وی آر ڈسکسنگ دا گریٹ فیملی آف دا گریٹ غوث سبحان اللہ فیملی آف سیدنا غوثِ پاک رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ اینڈ ماشاء اللہ مولانا صاحب ایز یو ہیو نریٹڈ اے بیوٹیفل پیرابل وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو سیدنا ابو صالح موسیٰ جنگی دوست رحمۃ اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ ہاؤ ہی بروک دا پاٹ اینڈ ہی الحمد للہ کنویز دا ٹرو ٹیچنگز آف اسلام دا رائچیس میسج دیٹ از ٹو انوائٹ پیپل ٹوورڈز رائچیسنیس یو نو امر بالمعروف انجوائنگ گڈ اینڈ دین ہی فوربید ہم فرام ایول فرام ڈرنکنگ الکوہل نہی عن المنکر سبحان اللہ ہی ڈیڈ بوتھ اینڈ ہاؤ بیوٹیفل از دس اسلامک کانسیپٹ آف انوائٹنگ پیپل ٹوورڈز رائچیسنیس کالنگ ٹوورڈز رائچیسنیس اینڈ فوربیڈنگ فرام ایول امام غزالی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ ہی سیز دیٹ ٹو ٹیل رائٹ تھنگ واٹ از امر بالمعروف واٹ از کالنگ ٹوورڈز رائچیسنیس ہی سیز نمبر ون از ٹو ٹیل دا رائٹ تھنگ ٹو این اگنورنٹ پرسن meaning to tell sharia ruling to someone who doesn't know about it. For example, telling a person indulged in interest dealings that this is haram as such, you must refrain from it, and so on. Meaning you are advising him, you are protecting him from something evil. And then number second, to preach in a soft tone. For example, advising the person indulged in backbiting in a soft tone and saying, dear brother, backbiting is haram and an act leading to hell. So why do you indulge in a sin of backbiting? Please refrain from backbiting and make a mindset that neither will I backbite nor listen to backbiting, inshallah azza wa jal. Because to do backbiting and to listen to it, both is evil. And then third grade of calling towards righteousness is that the one who has done something against Sharia is rebuked and scolded. Rebuke here does not mean to use sentences consisting of immodest phrases or vulgarity, but parents to the children, they can say in this way, oh ignorant, oh insensible, Don't you fear Allah Azza wa Jal? Or maybe using similar words to warn them about the dangers of it. Remember, it is not necessary for everyone to act upon every grade of calling towards righteousness, different grades, different levels for different people. And there are few conditions, and it is written in the book of Maktabatul Madina, Alhamdulillah, the Encyclopedia of Hanafi Fiqh, Bahari Shariat, Volume 3, page number 615, that Amrun bil Ma'ruf and Nahyun anil Munkar, meaning calling towards righteousness and forbidding from evil, are of many types. Firstly, if there is a strong presumption that the evildoers, those who are indulged in evil, will abide by the advice, refraining from evil, then it is wajib for that person to fulfill the obligation of Amrun bil Ma'ruf, if the chances are that they will listen to it. It is not permissible for that person to avoid forbidding the evil. Secondly, if this presumption dominates that they, meaning whomever the person is calling towards righteousness or to enjoin good, will make different accusations and will actually use vulgar words against that person, then leaving the call to righteousness is better. If that person is not going to listen to you, there is no point.
Right.
And thirdly, if that person realizes that they will beat me up, you know, this person will not be able to demonstrate patience, or due to this, a conflict and fight would emerge between them, even then it is better to leave call to righteousness. Meaning, instead of causing any good, you will invite trouble upon yourself and things will get messy. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So these are some of the guidelines for us to keep in our view when we are doing neki ki da'wat, call towards righteousness, amrun bil ma'ruf, and when we are indulging in nahi anil munkar, forbidding from evil. And these are the scenarios. A wise person would be the one who would test the waters, who would gauge the situation and then work accordingly. So wisdom requires for you to say the right thing at the right time.
So beautifully mentioned. See, Islam is the religion of wisdom. Even when it comes to Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, there are terms and conditions by which we need to analyze a situation and a scenario before we can even try to engage ourselves in this Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar. As you have beautifully outlined those type of conditions, and as well as what to do when a certain situation is in front of you. But at the end of the day, it all boils one to one thing, and that is the greatness and the virtues of Amrun bin Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, of which is the quality of this ummah of our beloved Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla actually makes mention of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the virtue of Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar. And it's such a very, very beautiful quality that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore we should really thank Allah for having given us this beautiful quality to know that Allah Azza wa Jal calls us with this beautiful quality of enjoining towards goodness and forbidding each other from evil. And I mean, if Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala calls us with that beautiful quality, alhamdulillah, what more can we ask from Allah? May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, may He make us from amongst those who can actually do amal on Amrun bin Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, to a certain extent that not only must we be in the position of giving others advice, but such that even when we have been given advice and we've been informed that look, A, B, C, D is haram, we shouldn't, you know, pull our chest up and think, you know, we cannot be told things. This is not what is required from us as the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now Sayyidi, we are discussing the piety and the greatness of the family of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala. We alhamdulillah just listen to the accounts of the beloved parents of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this should actually inspire us as the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the devotees of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali to tread into this direction and to follow into their footsteps, especially the footsteps of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, because he spent his entire life practicing Amrum Bil Ma'ruf and Nahyun Anil Munkar.
Subhanallah.
As we have just mentioned the account of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, that there were about 100,000 people that made tawbah on the hands of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullah, whom he has reformed, Allahu Akbar. And we can see in the devotee of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak, meaning the Peer o Murshid of thousands and thousands of people, Subhanallah, Amir al-Sundam al-Barakatumul Aliyah, who also treads on this guideline, Alhamdulillah, and follows into the footsteps of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, trying to fulfill this great duty of Amrum Bil Ma'ruf and Nahyun Anil Munkar through his speeches, through his writing, through his presentation on Madani Channel, through Madani Muzakara, Subhanallah, and even reforming and transforming people's lives. And this is the Madani mission of Dawat Islami, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. What is reformation? Reformation is enjoining good and forbidding evil. That is part of the reformation, Subhanallah. And may Allah Azza wa Jal truly indeed give us the tawfiq and divine opportunity to follow into the footsteps of Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and his great family and truly become Qadri in its proper sense. Inshallah, Ameen Bijahi Nabi Alameen. As Sayyidi, Alhamdulillah, we are approaching closer to the conclusion of our today's episode. Inshallah, any parting words?
One or two points that we can take as a lesson today from the life of the parents of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala is that, number one, we as parents that growing up children, firstly, we ourselves need to be practical Muslims, you know, because a general and a common sense that people don't bother much of what you say.
Yes.
People want to see you in action. If you have a child who's just been born and you're practical on your salah, very soon you'll see that very same child will be asking you for his or her own musalla. Even before that particular child can even begin to speak. So children normally learn things by seeing before they can even speak and before they can even move their tongues and be able to communicate. So that is why it's important that if we really, really, truly want to carry this mission of Dawat Islami to the public and to the world out there, that transformation needs to begin with us. And Alhamdulillah, if we ourselves as parents begin to fall back on Quran and fall back towards Sunnah, I mean, our children are looking and then they will also, you know, fall back on Quran and fall back to Sunnah. And tomorrow they will also have children. And this generation of Amrun Bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun Anil Munkar will continue and continue and continue. So much so that inshallah Azza wa Jal, one day this message of Amrun Bil Ma'ruf would reach the whole entire dunya, the whole entire world. And then secondly to mention is that, you know, as we're learning the lifestyle of the parents of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala, we should at least pick up one virtue of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, especially when it comes to things that he used to love the most. You know, bit by bit, try to inculcate that into our lives and try to do amal on that. Inshallah, thumma inshallah, by the virtue of following one footstep of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, that one footstep will lead to another footstep. Then it will lead to another footstep. Until that particular time when we will now gain the momentum on the footstep of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And by gaining the momentum, it would mean that we would have that jazba and that enthusiastic of following the commands of Allah, of being punctual on our salah, of being punctual when it comes to our fast in the blessed month of Ramadan. So much so that we will have this jazba and enthusiastic to try and follow each and every footstep of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala keep us and our families always under the daman of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala. Amin bijannabil amin sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. You've just heard a beautiful advice from our Mubaligh of Dawat Islami, and mashallah, and he has also made dua on behalf of all of us, mashallah. And we should say ameen to that, because if we hold fast onto this daman of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, it can prove as a great stepping stone towards our salvation, inshallah, in both the worlds. Subhanallah. And as we have reached the conclusion of today's episode, let's inshallah remind each other to recite durood and salam in the court of beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In Ghawse Azam's radiance we find our way, the crown of sainthood guiding night and day, the crown of sainthood guiding night and day.